Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood washed away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come once again to that location on the internet where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's all about being transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound in offering both hope and help for men. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. That's what we stand by. That's what we continue to do. We just want to give away freely what has been received by us freely. So we're doing what I think he wants us to be doing. So I'm glad you're here with us today. We have a topic today that could be considered controversial, and it may be more controversial than you can imagine when we kick this thing off. We're going to be talking about accountability. And what that looks like, what that means, what does the Bible have to say about that sort of thing, and just our own personal take on that sort and our experiences. So we're going to share that. And when I say we, I'm talking about Eric in the house with me today. Good to have you, bro.
Good to be here.
And I tell you what, how do you have such a good attitude?
I fake.
Well, at least you're honest. I appreciate that, the transparency of being honest and saying, I just fake. That's just what it's all about, you know. And, that's a good thing. I mean, that you're honest, not that you're fake or that whatever.
Okay. No, it's just, you know, the caffeine's just starting to kick in about now.
I understand that one. So, any encouragement you'd like to give to the guys? We always like to kind of kick it in a little bit with that. Have any little bit of encouragement?
Sure. Okay. Yeah, I got a little bit of encouragement.
Is this real or is this fake?
No. No, it's real. It's okay. Very real.
Good.
Have you ever noticed how God will take something that seems like the end for men and he creates it into a new beginning?
Yes.
I'm just amazed by this. And I was thinking about how the Israel army is standing up against the Philistine army, and they're being taunted day by day, and they have their big champion Goliath, and they say, you know, bring out your champion. And finally, a little shepherd boy steps up and says, you know, who is this Philistine to stand up against, you know, the armies of God? And so this little shepherd boy with no armor, a little leather sling and five rocks in his pocket goes to stand up against the champion of the Philistine army. And I'm just trying to put myself in the place of the Israelite army. They're all just going, oh, for crying out loud. This is the end. It's a good thing I made out my will, you know. Yeah. Because they're looking at this thinking, this is the end. But then what does God do? God uses this little boy and defeats the giant.
Yes.
And not only that, but he establishes that David is going to be the one who sits on his throne, and that someone in the line of David will sit on that throne for all time.
Yep.
And now, thousands of years later, we know who that one who is sitting on the throne of David for all time, that's Jesus.
That's right.
And that brings up another story of when, you know, people thought that the end had happened, but God used it for something incredible. And that's when they took Jesus away to die on the cross. And all of the disciples are scattering. Peter's denying Jesus. You know, everyone's going their own way because this is the end. The guy who was supposed to sit on the throne of David and defeat the Roman Empire, right, for the sake of Israel, well, they're nailing him up to a cross. Mm-hmm. This is the end. Mm-hmm. Everybody scatter. Everybody run, right? Well, once again, God took something that seemed like the end to men and made it into the most beautiful thing. Because now we truly do have a king who is enthroned for all time, sitting on the throne of David, seated at the right hand of God and ruling from there. And it is, you know, it's through him that we have the forgiveness of sins. It's through him that we are reconciled Amen. To the Father. Amen. And, you know, God took this, what seemed like the end to men, and he used it for his glory. Yes. And I'm just thinking, you know, we have those moments in our lives where we think that this is the end.
Yes.
This, it's never going to get better.
Or it's heading to destruction.
Yeah. Whatever. What, you know, and so I just want to encourage the guys out there that wherever they find themselves today, that if it seems like the end, well, it might just be the beginning of God doing something amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, praise God, because you know what? When we are sensitive to our surroundings and what's taking place and use and ask him for the wisdom and the discernment, he gives those to us, and we're able to see things that maybe we didn't see before. Then all of a sudden it increases our faith. And that's, I mean, what else is necessary after that? It does a whole lot of other things, but it increases our faith. And that's really what it comes down to. Then we can actually give that away to someone else. And as a result of it, their faith is increased. Ours is increased even more as a result of sharing it. So all good stuff.
Yep.
Good stuff.
Amen.
All right. Well, let's segue right into this thing, because this kind of goes along with what you were talking about a little bit, in a sense, here.
A little bit. Yeah. So, yeah, well, I just wanted to talk about accountability a little bit this morning, you know, what that looks like in the
Why?
In the life of a man. Well, you know, this could be a touchy subject. There's people on, you know, on different sides of the issue. So, you know, the first thing is where in the Bible does it say that a man needs to have an accountability partner and meet with him on a regular basis and do all that stuff?
Well, the
thing is, it's not there.
Oh, okay. Man, you didn't even give me a chance to kind of play along with this a little bit here. Well, with you. That's all right. You cut me off. There you go.
Yeah.
You're right. It's not there.
It's not there.
It doesn't say accountability in the Bible.
Yeah. I'm not sure that word is even, I haven't done a word search, but I'm not sure that the word accountability is even there.
I don't think it is in there. Because if I were to, as I have here, the meaning of accountable, okay, because when you look at accountability, it says being accountable. Okay, so what's the meaning of accountable? Person or organization or institution required or expected to justify actions or decisions responsible. Okay. Now, synonyms, which are facsimile, okay, responsible, liable, answerable. Okay. So if you do something, this is why I did that, and how you justify your actions, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now, when it comes to that sort of thing, it's sort of like being scrutinized by authority or others. Not necessarily authority, sometimes just peers or maybe even other people who are asking questions. Hey, why are you doing this, you know? And so you use whatever means of being taking the responsibility and giving that answer, right? Which opens the door to a whole bunch of things that we as men actually try to avoid, right?
Yeah.
We don't want people to see everything about us.
Yeah, I don't want people to see the mess that is Eric.
Yes.
Inside. I don't, you know.
So I'm going to do whatever is necessary to avoid being put in positions where there's accountability, right?
That's a general tendency of men. Yeah, absolutely.
But I mean, why would, I mean, seriously, when we look at this sort of thing, is it important? Is it necessary? I was raised in a 12-step program, okay, you know, clean and sober for 3 decades plus. Praise God for that. But what was important there is that, if anything, that I had people that I was accountable to. You know, I had a, what you would call a sponsor or a mentor or, you know, a big brother or, you know, someone who was willing to say, hey, call me on things, right? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And a mentor is kind of like a different kind of a, a boat to get into. Because
I'm just throwing different names out there just that would be similar to that sort of thing.
Right. But when we talk about accountability, you know, there is one of the things that's pushed by a lot of churches is to have an accountability partner. So, you know, that's kind of
I've never been to a church where they said that. I've only been to men's ministry where it's been.
That's true. I've really only experienced inside of men's ministry also. Yeah.
That's usually where we usually.
That's not to say that there aren't churches that push it, you know, like encourage it. But.
Well, before we go too far into this and come up with a conclusion on some things, then start in a discussion. What is the purpose for accountability?
Well, the purpose of accountability is to create a transparent relationship where I can come to somebody. And you know, somebody that I've given permission to speak into my life,
right?
Somebody where I know that I can come to that person and you know, confess my struggles without condemnation, and where the purpose of it is for mutual prayer and encouragement, instruction, admonishment.
Okay.
But we want to be, but it's not to fix the other person. Okay. It's because it's only Christ that does that. It's only the Holy Spirit working in us that does that.
Let's look at this just from a different window here. You know, you're talking about as a faith-based accountability.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's look at accountability. You work, okay? You're expected to do certain things. You're expected to be at work on time. You're expected to do the job that that you know that you're supposed to be doing, that you're aware of, right? And if you're not doing that job, which you're being paid for, by the way, right, for doing, and you're not doing it, someone is going to ask, what were you doing during this period of time? That's accountability, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's where someone calls an authority, says, hey, okay, how do I know you were at work? Well, because my truck was gone. How do I know all your work was done? Well, because there's no more packages on my truck, right? You get my drift here, right? So
but how do I know that you didn't sit around
or dump them all over in the car?
Or just open up the side door and kick them out as you're driving down the road, you know?
Right. So there's more accountability that goes with each. So, and you're able to do that because if you've done the job, you would be able to answer without any problem. Well, this is what I did, and I took my break at this time. I took my lunch at that time, and I had a flat tire or whatever, you know, blah, blah, blah. Now, I'm just using this as an analogy. But there is accountability. We're all accountable in our lives. We're accountable to paying our mortgage or our rent.
Mm-hmm.
We're accountable to stay the speed limit, right? You may not see any police and think it's okay, but then just when you get caught, you go, oh, no, you know? Right? So there is accountability throughout our lives. We're accountable for a lot of things, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is something that is not new to us, okay? But we don't like it sometimes.
Well, especially when, you know, the speed limit says 35 and you really feel like it should be 45.
Yes.
You know, so I'm just going to go ahead and do it my way.
And if it's at 2 o'clock in the morning and there's nobody around, I should be able to go 55 easy with no problem.
Yeah,
you know, and run that red light because there's nobody on the road, and I can see that there's nobody around, right?
Yeah. So I mean, you know, it's we want to make up rules for ourselves.
Yeah, I'm one of those that very. It's just a defect of character of mine. Okay, I would rather ask for forgiveness than ask for permission to do something.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, not every time, but a lot of times, especially when I know that what I'm going to do is could be questioned by somebody, right?
Right.
So I'd rather go through and ask for
because that allows you to actually go and do the thing that you want to do.
Exactly.
And then you have just this moment of, oh, please forgive me. And then you turn and walk away and you think that all is good.
Yeah. Well, the rough thing about that, the challenge with that is that you end up doing that with the same person too many times, guess what? You're not even going to be around to be able to do that sort of thing, in a sense, okay? But anyways, I wanted to give another perspective because sometimes we just look at it as followers of Jesus Christ as seeking to know him more, of seeking to be the man that he wants us to be, okay? And even holding up others in our lives. Sometimes some of us are fathers and some of us are grandfathers, and we have responsibilities as uncles and to our nieces and nephews and even children around us and people that we spend. We hold them accountable, right? To
right.
their actions and stuff, right?
Right. And so when we have, going back to the inside the church, like, you know, one man or a small group of men or whatever, you see, we've been talking a lot about the rules, right? It's, you know, how we're accountable to so many rules, like following the speed
yes,
limit,
the law,
doing this, doing that, doing, right?
Yes.
Well, spiritual accountability isn't necessarily about following the rules.
Mm-hmm.
If we're all about rule following, then what we fall into is, you know, this pattern of legalism and condemnation.
Right. Right.
So that's the real struggle, I think, with men when we say, you know, hey, you might benefit from having somebody that you get together with on a regular basis. And, you know, for, you know, to pray and be transparent, you know, we would think, well, this person's going to, you know, condemn me because I wasn't able to follow this rule.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I broke this rule and this rule and this rule. And, you know, but that's not necessarily what this type of accountability is that we're talking about.
Right.
Because,
right.
you know, what we're dealing with here is more along the lines of spiritual warfare. Because, you know, as men, you know, we have three enemies, right? We have the devil, we have the world, and we have our own flesh. And all three are tempting us to sin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when we come together, you know, what are we doing? Except, you know, when we're encouraging one another, when we're praying for one another, what we're doing is we're engaging in spiritual warfare.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's not necessarily, you know, I want to kind of change people's perspective on what happens inside of a healthy accountability relationship from some sort of rule following regimen mm-hmm. with punishments
mm-hmm.
into, mutual encouragement and spiritual warfare.
Yes, yes.
So, because you know Satan knows where we're vulnerable, right? And he's gonna attack these things. You know, he knows he knows that, you know, if a man is has fallen in, you know, seeking images of lust or mm-hmm. Even taking it so far as adultery. You know, he knows that if a man is tempted, you know, to drink or some other form of comfort, some other, you know, drug.
Mm-hmm.
He knows whether or not we're prideful. Mm-hmm. You know, he's been observing for quite some time and he knows how to take us down. So part of that is not getting into another relationship where we're going to have somebody take us down. We want to get into this relationship where we have somebody who, you know, is willing to step alongside you
mm-hmm.
and hold you up in these things, not to tear you down in these things
right.
and to encourage one another.
So what you're talking about an area where most of us, and I'm talking about men primarily in a sense, a lot of different personalities, a lot of different value systems and everything. But what ends up taking place is that you're talking about in an area that we just don't want to go to. Let's take a break. Let's give our sponsors a little bit of kudos here. But in the meantime, we'll come back and let's talk about this, what does it require for us to desire accountability, and why is it a good thing, and what is it that we believe that actually is working in this accountability thing? Is it really necessary? Really? We'll talk about that when we get back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
please help us in our effort to encourage and strengthen men across America and around the globe. Make a tax-deductible donation online at faithplace.org. Just click on the About Us page.
When you need a lasting remembrance of a loved one, you can spend thousands of dollars on an engraved monument, benchmarker, keepsake urn, or flag case. Or you could get the exact same engraved monument at a far lower cost from Cascade Monuments. Right now, explore even bigger savings during Cascade Monuments' anniversary event. Cascade Monuments ships throughout the United States and Canada. Shop online at cascademonuments.com.
Lord, we're crying out for faith to believe the words you say. You say we are loved. You say we belong to you. Your grace is enough. Nothing more that we can do. You say we've been bought by your blood.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio, Eric and Raul. We're talking about accountability and a few things about that. Pros, cons, you know, we know that accountability is not mentioned in the Bible, but there are things that it talks about that may be a facsimile that, you know, there's accountability. I think of one relationship of two men, of Jonathan and David.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There was accountability there. Okay. And you know, I know that so often it comes that sometimes we go into groups like in ministry work in a sense with men that we say it's good to be able to be accountable to somebody, okay? Because it's you come to find out first. Let me just go back a step here. The accountability isn't about just finding somebody that you can trust and so on and so forth. You can't get to that place of trusting somebody by just meeting them and saying, okay, you're
it. Yeah, there's a process involved.
There's a process because it's a relationship, okay? It's a relationship that needs to take place. And in that relationship, and we've had many relationships. I don't know about you, but I have relationships that are just acquaintances, so to speak. Hey, I know that guy, you know. Hey, yeah, I see you at, you know, wherever. And, yeah, good to see you. You stay there, I'm going this way, you know, type of thing, right? Then you have relationships that just are not very good. You just don't want to have anything to do with somebody. Then there are relationships that are people that you like and you like to hang around. And so, and then there are those that you learn to trust a little bit more. And I think the key word is the trust. That all of a sudden you get to that place of seeing how somebody, yeah, I think he has my best interest at heart. In other words, he's not going to do any harm to me.
Yeah.
Because that's really what keeps us from getting to that place of trusting people.
And you also use the word learn to trust. Because mm-hmm. it's not something that just say, okay, I'm going to trust you and you trust me and away we go.
Yeah.
You know, that's
you have
just,
to experience
not,
it, right?
That's right. You have to experience. It's something that takes time.
Right.
It takes, you know, honesty and integrity and time.
Well, we'll use our relationship as an example. From mm-hmm. the very first time that I met you, and I remember I told you this years later, right? I said, man, when I first saw you, I thought you were kind of a wacko. Okay.
And I don't remember this. Okay. Now you got my attention.
You had your Bible. And I said there was something about you. Maybe it was your countenance. Okay. That seemed. I mean, I didn't discern anything weird or odd. You know, but something was just not what it was. Yeah. I mean, something just different. Okay. And so I thought to myself, wow, this guy. You know, he's not. I shouldn't have used the word wacko, but, you know, there's a lot of personalities that you get in men's ministry, right? Guys of all sorts.
Oh,
and guys that look normal, and then we start to talk to them, all of a sudden, okay, that's not necessarily, but what is normal in a sense, right? It's just their experiences of who they are. That's their personality. But yours was just, I wasn't sure whether I, you know, should I kind of, you know, delve into this? Could he be a potential leader, or is he just scary, or what is it, you know? And but I'll never forget, It did. It took not very much time, but all of a sudden I realized that the more that I saw you and the more that I heard from you and how you felt about things or your ideas on things, all of a sudden I began to realize, here's what it is. This guy is actually willing to be upfront and honest, okay, transparent, and you are trusting me and who, you know, in our conversations and things that, and I'm sitting there, I'm going, and I'm not used to that. I'm used to guys having a motive, a reason, something that is on their end that they would benefit by having a relationship with me or talking with me. And that's only because of the, you know, I was heading up the ministry, right? And then I realized that, man, there was no strings attached. And that's what was really odd, because I've met with a lot that always seem to have strings attached. And that's not meaning that it was everybody, but it was just so different. But we I had to get to that place of learning to trust you and even test the waters, right?
Yeah. And that's the way I felt when I came into the Bannon Brothers ministry. One of the things that we say is that trust is earned and honored, and that everything that we share at the Bannon Brothers ministry, it stays there at the Bannon Brothers ministry.
Right.
And then I sit down at this table, and we start to share our prayer requests, and the leader of the table, he starts telling me things. That I'm just like, what the heck are you telling me this stuff for?
Yes.
You've never met me. Yeah. But, you know, he was just stepping out in faith. And, yes. And, you know, and for me, it was like, okay, well, I know what kind of waters I'm in right here.
Yes.
And it's like, I was immediately, I was just like, I know that this is a place that's safe.
Yes.
You know, so that transparency that he displayed by being vulnerable,
yes.
You know, somebody has to step out
and
be vulnerable. And then it's like, and then I just started pouring everything out.
Yes.
You know, and it's like, this is the first time I've been to Bannon Brothers. And I'm just like, I did not expect this.
Right.
You
right.
know?
Well, see, this is part of what takes place when there's only one thing present, and that's the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. See, it's not about man trying to make something happen. Put it in a situation so that you would be able to share, because we've set somebody up to be able to share with you his weaknesses and challenges and stuff. No, it's about the Holy Spirit being present. Okay. And this is part of where I wanted to go with this sort of thing, because so often we try to, it's like a formula. How often, I mean, you've been walking with the Lord for a while. You've done a lot of reading. You're intelligent. You're knowledgeable. You know that there are people in the past, in centuries past, that try to create, and even more recently in the last, here in the United States, of trying to make a revival happen.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a formula. There's not
right.
a formula. There's not a format. There's not a certain way. This is what needs to
yeah.
take place.
Yeah, there's not 12 steps to revival.
No. Yeah, exactly. What it comes down to is that there's got to be a humility. There's got to be a true humility of repentance,
mm-hmm.
okay, toward our Lord, of that realizing that relationship with Jesus Christ, how important that is in our lives and how important it has been in our lives. To really look at the simplicity of it, because what he's looking at is our heart. And he knows our heart. And when our heart is pure for him, seeking him and humbled, whether it's because of for asking for forgiveness and repenting and turning away and realizing that I'm not the one that makes things happen. Okay? Oh, I can make a lot of things happen, but God is the one that makes them work, right? And that come to that realization on that sort of thing, then all of a sudden things start to change. There's a mm-hmm. revelation that takes place. And that revelation goes from that man or that individual onto people who are close to him. And then before you know it, people are gathering together, and now you have what most people would say a revival that has taken place. You can't set that up. Oh, we're going to start revival here at this time. Now I'm not slamming people with you could ask my wife. I said, hey, maybe we ought to have a big tent so we get men coming all the time just to come and, you know, a place to hear the word of God and know that we can trust in him. They more men that see other men, they're saying, well, what is it to this, you know? Anyway, I'm going off on the tangent here.
That's okay, because what you're talking about is that that it's the Holy Spirit that brings about the change in men.
Yes.
You know, it's not another man who brings about the change in men. You know, when that table leader started sharing the things that he had done, it was a movement of the Holy Spirit in him.
Yes.
And God was also working in my heart at the same time, and he just used all these events to make things, you know, to help things to to transpire the way that he wanted them to transpire, to be vulnerable and to confess our sins to one another. Because, you know, well, we're actually instructed to.
Right.
James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective as it's working. You know, it's not, yes, we are to confess our sins to God. Mm-hmm. It's also advantageous for us to confess our sins to other people, people that we trust.
Right. Right.
Because of the fact that that in that, well, there comes prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And with the prayer comes healing.
Yes.
You know, and it says the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective as it's working. Well, okay, then that brings up the question, where am I going to find a righteous man? You know, it's like, well, the Bible says that if we are in Christ, we are clothed in his righteousness. We are given his righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a matter of, you know, somebody who doesn't have any sin in them. No. Because you're not going to find that person.
But if you look at the definition for righteous, it's doing, it's as simple as this, to simplify it, doing the right thing. Doing what you believe is the right thing. And if you believe in what the Lord is saying, he wants you to be loving and kind. I mean, he wants you to have all the fruit of the Spirit, right?
Yeah.
Which is the way that for us to live. That's drawing us closer to being a reflection of his image, of being holy because he is holy. We'll never achieve that, brother, because we're human. We're going to stumble. We're going to fall. We're going to fall short of his glory, okay? And despite all of that, he still loves us and wants us to continue on. Come on, get up. It's okay, Raul. Get up. Get up. You've asked for forgiveness. I've forgiven you. Get up and move forward, okay? Mm-hmm. Don't just stay there. Don't stay there on the ground. Don't stay stuck in that corner. Come on. I need you somewhere else. I need you to be able to do something that I have in store for you. Now get up and move. You know, and that's really what it comes down to. Okay? Once again, and that's where my take on the accountability thing, and I used to be one that said, hey, man, I was raised with this type of thing. I think it's important. Now, am I negating all my accountability in the past? No, all of that was necessary. But I'm just seeing it through different eyes right now. You know, I may change my mind this afternoon. Say, no, I don't like that way of looking at things. But the simple fact is that, you know, I was, in my past, lying came all the time. I lied about everything, it seemed like. And I couldn't remember who it was that I told which lie to about what item or whatever it was. So it was like constant. And I knew it was because people always say, oh, really? Because that's not what you said last time. Oh, no. I might have been mistaken. I knew how to. So I became very, as I looked at it, very good at that. Okay. But I found out later on in my recovery, in a sense, that there were a lot of guys just like me that thought that they were very good at it too. Okay. And one of the things about that I love this in this book on it's called Bond of Brothers. It's by Wes Yoder, and he talked about in here about the accountability. He said in here about the accountability group, and he said every wife knows her husband has issues and needs to talk with other men, but seldom does. The assumption about men's groups is that men actually talk in them about their own junk. Most of the time, we do not. But the wife breathes a sigh of relief because it looks like her man has friends and is finally talking. The first farce is an outright deception. Okay? So, and I look at that because that so speaks about so many, including myself. Oh, you know what used to get me is I would get calls from the wives. Is my husband showing up there? I said, oh, yeah. You know, this is not an anonymous group, so it's, you know, it's not like I'm going to tell them, no, I can't tell you whether he's been there or not. But yes, absolutely, he's here. He's been here. Well, I don't understand why he's still, is he not talking to you? Well, we have, and of course, they don't know what's going on and stuff. But yeah. I've had similar situations over and over and over again where somebody, a spouse or someone close to the man who shows up, is he not partaking? Is he, you know, how's he doing? You know, and, you know, what's all this? And really what it comes down to is that he's showing up because his wife wanted him to, thinking that something's going to take place. He now has guys he can talk to, and it doesn't work that quick or that fast.
Right.
And we're beyond the time. So let's do this. Let me do this. Take a break, come back, and then you can have the rest of the show, brother. It's all about you.
All right. We'll talk about bathroom conversations when we get back.
We'll be right back listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Be all that God designed you to be. Band of Brothers Radio reminds you to check the For Men Only tab at faithplace.org for daily tips on becoming better husbands and fathers.
I don't know about your body, but my body loves protein. That's right. And when I think about delicious protein, I think about Hempler's pepper bacon, Hempler's hams, Hempler's bun buster hot dogs, Hempler's chorizo, Hempler's chicken sausage. It's all so delicious, and I don't have to worry about extra fillers. The entire Hempler collection of smoked meats is completely free of allergens, gluten, and MSG, and it's made with care from their family to yours, using the Hempler family tradition of slowly curing, cooking, and smoking their meat naturally over hardwoods. To learn where you can purchase your own Hempler's meat, visit Hempler's.com.
Looking for another option for your internet service? Need a more reliable, high-speed internet? StarTouch is the premier provider of wireless broadband to businesses, government entities, schools, and residential customers in the Pacific Northwest. In fact, the talk show ministry you're listening to right now uses StarTouch as our internet provider. Experience the StarTouch difference. Get a free quote by visiting StarTouch.com. Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. Eric, okay, the question is bathroom talk for men. What does that sound like? That's right.
Yeah, because that's one of the man rules, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no talking in the bathroom.
Yeah, don't look in my direction.
Don't look in my direction. Don't talk. You know. Guys, we don't get up at the same time to go to the bathroom at the same time, you know, together. You know, women.
The other gender does.
The other gender, they will, you know, they plan their bathroom breaks and they go and they have these wonderful deep conversations between the stalls. And at least that's what I understand. I'm not lurking at bathroom doors. That's what I've been told.
Goodness.
The man rule is, you know, that's not the place.
Yeah.
And
just take care of business and leave.
Yeah. And so when you were talking about how, you know, the wife was checking to see that her husband was at Band of Brothers.
Yes.
You know, because she's not seeing the change in him.
Yes.
Well, I'm just thinking of, you know, the guy who goes to the bathroom and is expected to talk.
Yes.
He's not going to be talking, you know, not unless, you know, it's the working of the Holy Spirit in us that moves us to be, you know, vulnerable and transparent. And even then, I would venture to say that you're not going to get 100% transparency.
Yeah. Yes.
You right. know, we always keep something. We always, like you were using in the break, you were talking about a pile driver. And it drives this pile down into
deep.
The ground. You know, if it's in the bay, you know, it's being driven down into, you know, like muck and mire. And, you know, there's no man that's going to lift that thing out of there. It's not about a man doing this work, you know, right. And there's always something that's down in the dirt that's never going to be seen.
Right.
And we're kind of like that.
Yes.
You know, and we think that with accountability, that is about a man,
yes,
you know, lifting us out. You know, I'm not accountable to any man.
Yeah.
I'm accountable only to God.
Amen. And that's why it's only the Holy Spirit that makes this thing work, this place where we can actually get to trust each other after a while. Now, you and I have been on, we've known each other for probably close to 8 years, in a sense. And what has taken place over that period of time is that there's been a trust that has gone on. We've been to, as the leaders, where we head over to Eastern Washington doing that prayer weekend and stuff,
mm-hmm.
and things that take place, things that are shared and things that are prayed over. There's a true transparency that takes place there. And that's as close as we can come to being able to, you know, say, this is, I trust you. I know that you're not going to take whatever I say and do harm to me as a result of it. And that is only work of the Holy Spirit. That's not because of everything that you've done, because if I just look at everything that you do and stuff, I may not be able to get there. But when we come together and pray together, like you shared before,
mm-hmm.
okay, in that we come together, we reveal our sins with each other, pray together so that we may be healed, the prayers of a righteous man are powerful and effective. We're attempting to do the right thing. See, when we're locked into the Spirit, that's why I've always been told when it comes to ministry work, I don't care. We've been doing this every Tuesday for 9 years plus, okay? And every Tuesday, prayer is lifted for the ministry so that the Holy Spirit would be present when the men gather, because we're hard, thick-headed, hardened hearts in some cases of not wanting to reveal anything. But we want the Holy Spirit to be able to drop the scales from our eyes and to soften these hearts so that they would trust not only their brother, okay, but the Lord in what is being shared and done, you know.
Right. And one of the verses that Band of Brothers has always leaned on is Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking at that verse this morning, and I found that the New King James Version is actually one mm-hmm. of the closest to the original Hebrew, and it says, "As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend."
Yes.
And what that's talking about is moral support, to lift another person.
Yes.
And the word friend is like a very close intimate friend. You know, where a bond where that trust has developed, you know, because God has given us each other. You know, it's you know, God is at work in us. We have the Holy Spirit in us. We are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We are in Christ. Christ is in us. That all being said, one of the things that he uses is other men mm-hmm. who also are in Christ.
Yes, yes.
Because, you know, it says that to not forsake the gathering together, as is a habit of some, but encouraging one another.
Right.
And all the more as you see the day drawing near.
Amen. Amen.
And that's what it's about. It's about getting together, you know, and really, you have to develop that transparency,
well,
you know, through
part
the trust.
Of what ends up taking place in that, if the whole purpose of the gathering is for God to reveal more of who he is to us, that we want to acknowledge him. We mm-hmm. want to call on him. We want to acknowledge the fact that he is present. And there are men that would gather or come together, and not just in a large group, but even with a one-on-one. And I know you do this. I do this. When I meet with other men, I pray to before we start the conversation. Oh, yeah, we may have some small talk at the beginning, but before we get down into it, the reason that we're here,
mm-hmm.
so let me open in prayer, okay? And then we always close it in prayer. So we acknowledge the Lord. And when we do that, he's the one that is at work. Paul, I love this. He says, I plant the seed. He says, Apollos waters the seed. But God is the increase.
Mm-hmm.
That is what it is. That means that God is the one that makes it work, not us. It's not because I planted the seed or that I watered the seed. It's that God is the one that allowed that to grow. Okay? And that's what needs to take place. So as men, here's the deal, man. What it comes down to is not about going and saying, okay, I'm going to go have to tell Raul I'm not going to show up because I don't want people to think that I'm doing something wrong. When you are doing something wrong, okay, that would not be beneficial to a good, solid relationship with Jesus Christ. In other words, he would be a little disappointed, okay? We've all disappointed the Lord. That's why Jesus died on the cross. That's why he died for us, a perfect sacrifice, so that we would be able to come to be able to hear who he is, to be able to see what takes place as a result of us trusting in him and hoping in him and believing in him and then sharing that with others.
Yeah, and knowing that complete forgiveness that we have in him.
Yes.
Because you take away the sin, you also take away the guilt and the condemnation.
Amen.
And it allows a person to go forward in their Christian walk in getting to know who Jesus Christ is and desiring to know him.
Yes.
Better and be in his presence.
Amen.
At all times.
Amen.
You know, and this is one of the things that that we spur one another on.
Yes.
to love and good works.
We're all going to fail, okay? Some of us are going to stumble, some are going to fall, okay? But you know what, we just encourage, like you said, and exhort each other up to keep on. Don't give up. Just when you think you're end of the rope, the Lord will give you more rope, brother. You know, and he'll
right.
do that with other brothers who are in your life. And that is where it comes down to this. Hey, what I want to do is be able to know that someone else sees hope in me. That's really what it comes down to.
Mm-hmm.
So you gather together so that you can be exhorted by other brothers. So if you go to a men's ministry, you go to church, hold your brothers up that are doing the things around the church. Become part of that.
And not only that, allow them to hold you up as well.
That will happen automatically. When you give away, the Lord will see to it that he's going to bless you with the same thing that you give away.
Yep.
So, wow. There you go. A little bit of accountability. How about praying for our brothers?
Oh, our Heavenly Father, we just praise you for the blood of Jesus shed for us. We praise you, Father, for the encouragement that we have through others that you have placed in our lives, God. I just pray, Father, that you would move in our hearts to truly confess our sins to one another and pray for one another so that we may be healed, Father, because it's what you say in your word. So we just want to love you and to seek you more dearly. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.